Go ahead.
Thank you.
Present your case.
Thank you for prioritizing this project and putting it on today. So just to clarify, we are discussing Agenda Paper 7. I hope you have it. So post-implementation review of IFRS 13. We discussed this project with you in December, and I'm pleased to let you know that the board has made a decision consistent with your advice, which is to proceed with the phase two of post-implementation review and focus the phase two on the areas which are consistent with the feedback we received in phase one. So the request for information went out at the end of the May, and the deadline for responses is 22nd September. What we wanted to do with you today is there's a couple of things. The first is the RFI just came out recently, so we really don't expect you would have a detailed feedback at this stage, but we just wanted to hear initial impression and things you are hearing. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly for this session, is we wanted to share with you our approach to the outreach in the RFI and also get understanding from you of what your plans are, if any, with respect to the outreach, and maybe share some ideas and suggestions and have a little bit of discussion how best we can collect feedback from people there. And with that, I really want to thank those of you who have already reached out and having discussions with respect to the outreach plans. So I'm not going to go through the slides in detail, but I'm just going to spend a minute on slide 8. I think it is 8, which is outlining the objectives of the post-implementation review by the areas of focus. I hope you have a big enough slide, because there's lots of words on this, but I will attempt to summarize it. I think I can read your version better, but I should know what it says, hopefully. So the first one ends is review of disclosure. So as you have said to us, and as we have heard in lots of other outreach, this is an area where people really want the board to look at further. And what the objective is here is to really get a little bit better understanding of perspectives, both from users and preparers, with respect to usefulness of disclosures. Because in the phase one, we have heard feedback from both users and preparers. We want you to look at this, but they are coming from quite different positions. Users were saying these disclosures are very important, but sometimes we get information that is too boilerplate and not sufficiently disaggregated for us to be able to make good decisions. On the other hand, preparers were saying, you know, this is quite hard to prepare, and we can never make it as useful because there's just so much of it, and why don't we just scrap it because it can't be useful. So it's quite different. And with that, obviously, the focus is on disclosures for level 3 measurements because there's most disclosure requirements there. So that is really the main area. But there's a number of other things, obviously, P times Q. There's no need for introducing that topic. I would just like to say, to re-emphasize, that the objective with P times Q in this project at this stage is really to understand the practice better in the sense of how pervasive this updates our understanding of how commonly these measurements happen, and when they do happen, what are actually the differences between the measurement based on P times Q and measurement based on variation model. So the objective is really not to get people's view about what should be the measurement at this point, although I have to say, no matter how many times I say that, I have not yet been successful in a single session to focus on that, and people just love sharing their views. That's it. And just a few other areas, so the concept of highest and best use, which has come up but by a few, and this was like a touch and go in a phase one, whether the board will include it in the focus. And to be honest, in the feedback we've had so far in phase two, it's really not very high on people's agenda as an issue. We have not heard much, but we are going to focus and understand this better in practice when issues arise and understand that better. And finally, the application of judgment, which some of you have also shared with us, in particular assessing whether market is an active market, is something we hear about the most. Another topic that has come up not as frequently is assessing whether input is significant and observable input, which drives whether measurement is level one, level two, level three, quite important distinction. So, and then also we are looking at the need for education with respect to measuring fair value of biological assets and unquoted entities, whether that education be provided by this board or somewhere else. So with that, I would like to hand over with you and maybe just let you share if you have any initial feedback and things you've been hearing in your jurisdictions and these topics.
Andrew.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for moving this forward to a written consultation stage. I think that's an important part of the post-implementation review process, which we take very, very seriously. From an FRAG point of view, our main input gathering approach is to launch about two questionnaires, which we've just launched recently, one for users, one more generally, and we'll, of course, synthesise the feedback from that process and bring it to the table. Our questionnaires are basically very consistent with the four main themes identified in your request for views. We've just added one general theme of our own, which is are there opportunities to simplify IFRS 13, a very open question looking for feedback. And then the feedback we've had to date, I think, the particular points very much fit in under the four headings you've identified. So under disclosures, for example, we've had some comments around the realisation disclosures, and I think just apply today under level three, but we've had some interest from users in broadening information on realised fair value changes, I guess many derivatives, but not just derivatives, and under judgments, some questions around whether there could be more guidance on the use of CVAs, DVAs, FVAs, I've probably forgotten what, but in that area. But I think broadly speaking, the four main themes that you've identified are consistent with our feedback to date.
Yukio.
Thank you. We have not completed our outreach, but based on our limited outreach, if there are questions whether the disclosure related to level three air value measurement overall provide useful information to users. Banks have told us that their risk management of assets is not based on whether those assets are in level three. Therefore, the reconciliation from the beginning balance to the ending balance is merely a compliance exercise, which is burdensome to users. Furthermore, banks told us that quantitative sensitive analysis for changes in significant unobservable inputs is not required under US GAAP, and it is questionable whether such analysis provides useful information to users. Banks have also told us that it's difficult to assess whether an active market exists and to facilitate comparability, the ISB should provide more guidance in this area. Specifically, it is difficult to assess whether an active market exists for bonds, including both domestic bond and foreign bonds.
Thank you. Alexander?
We haven't finished this study yet, but I got a few information that I have and some personal notes here from someone who is disclosing that information. It's I don't think that most analysts understand what to do with that information at the end of the day. So they look at this level three, it's level two, level one, but at the end of the day they want you to value company. They don't want to put that in a valuation framework. And from my experience, they don't ask many questions about that because they don't know how to deal with that. So this is a level three, okay, but there's more model risk here than level two, but how much, what do I do to that information? Do I discount this a little bit more? So should I adjust this information? I don't believe they understand clearly the impact of that information. So generally do not have so many questions about unless there is a big variation from one quarter to the other between level. So your level 2 reduced a lot, level 3 increased a lot. We have to suggest that you change accounting policy. Which would be disguised as a change in accounting policy. So I believe a little bit more on what that information means, what the use of that information is important. The second one, I strongly agree with him about guidance, because if you look at companies in similar sectors with similar portfolios, they present very different mix of level 1, 2, and 3, which suggests that people are applying it differently. It's unlikely that they have on their portfolios that big difference. So in some companies there is a huge difference, 80% on level 3, other company 20% on level 2, the other company similar, the opposite, other companies similar levels. So it's unlikely that companies are actually applying that on a homogeneous fashion. So I would be in favor of more. Generally, is not the case, but I would be in favor of more guidance of that. But I'll focus on the first question more, which is what that information really is intended to do. What's which kind of information you're releasing?
Alessandro, do you think that's about a misunderstanding of what the information is saying? And we heard this in CMAQ, for example, where people are talking about if the information was just better presented, they could more clearly see sensitivity to two things, to changes in market and to measurement error. And they found it very difficult to gather that information from what seemed like an awful lot of numbers. Is that the kind of issue, or is it generally a disagreement with what the numbers are trying to achieve?
You mentioned sensitivity, and sensitivity analysis is something that you've got a lot of questions about it. Everybody questions about, well, how do you calculate a number? The sensitivity analysis is well done. Is really that you use 1 percentage point, or do you really use 1%? And people really are crazy to understand to the last detail sensitivity analysis, because that gives analysts a very important information, because they can use different scenarios and can have developed company in different scenarios. But just to say that 10% of your financial instruments is level 3, do you know what I mean? Doesn't help it really. What I do to that information, with that information, how do I fit that information in my valuation structure? Well, I understand level 3 is riskier. I'm repeating my one analyst that I talked to. I understand that information is riskier from a model perspective than level 2, but so what? Should I discount it? Should I apply a discount factor? Of course not, because you presumably did your fair value calculations right. So you should not rediscount level 3 because there is risk model on it. Thinking from an analyst perspective, what I do with that information.
And I think for me, and I think Aida said it in her tee up, this is one of the areas that I find the most difficult, because if you talk to investors, if you listen to the market generally, people are still very apprehensive about level 3 measurements, and if you talk to investors, they certainly need comfort or a sense of, that they can get behind the numbers and understand how they should think about them and just how uncertain are they in particular. But there's a frustration with the disclosures today, both from a preparer perspective, because they think they're a waste of time and they're very difficult to produce. But I think from an investor perspective, there's a sense they don't hit the spot. But I don't think they're saying they want no information or a lot less information. But trying to pinpoint what it is that could be provided that would be useful, I think, is our massive challenge in all of this.
Yeah, my point is exactly. It's not saying that information is not potentially useful, but the way it is disclosed today, it does call your attention to something that you don't know how to do after.
Linda?
Thanks. So we've done a fair amount of outreach simply because of scheduled meetings that we needed to have. So we've met with our IFRS discussion group. We've met with our academic advisory council. We had a meeting with the Institute of Corporate Directors, and a meeting with our user advisory council, and as well with the investment fund industry. We have one last meeting to have with the real estate industry on the PIR. So I'm looking at the data sheet that our board is going to use next week to talk about what we would include in our comment letter. Some of the themes are very consistent. In some respects, the response to the disclosure requirements is very consistent with what others have said. So for instance, both our IFRS discussion group and the Institute of Corporate Directors said that perhaps we need to look at the sensitivity analysis and continuity disclosures for level three, that they may be too onerous, and in some cases they're confusing. People aren't quite sure what to do with them when they see them, which is consistent with other remarks, and therefore likely that the benefits outweigh the costs. Academics say that clearly people care about fair value. They're interested in not only the actual information itself, but some indication of the reliability of the information in plainer English, so that people can actually understand what the range of error could be or the range of acceptable values, that sort of thing. It's very clear that if the disclosure isn't well done, people find it more confusing and don't use it, and so that's not really what we want to achieve. But our User Advisory Council basically feels that, in general, this type of disclosure is most important if it could be made simpler, more clear, in any way easier for them to get a better feeling for what they should do with the disclosure. In terms of highest and best use, we actually have had a couple of these sessions talk about highest and best use. And the main output from those two discussions, one was with our IFRS discussion group, one was with our Academic Advisory Council, is basically how much effort should be put into figuring out whether highest and best use should be considered. And we've gotten into a couple of very long conversations about a parking lot and whether a parking lot is the highest and best used in downtown Toronto, because you could really build a condo and get a lot more money out of the proceeds, whatever. So I think there's a lot of confusion around highest and best use. So I just, tell you that anecdotally. The main thing around levels one and two has to do, the comments has to do around whether or not you're in an active market. So not a lot of time spent on that, but some discussion about that and what are the characteristics of an active market. So from our perspective, we've got a little more outreach to do. The board will approve the main comments to be included in the response letter, and they'll get a last look at it when we see each other in September. But that's where we are right now, fairly far along in our outreach.
Bonhi.
Yes. Various members are in the process of gathering their comments from the respective stakeholders, so I didn't get much substantial comments from various members, but they just said that the topics in the RFI are relevant and worth looking into. In regard to this topic, I just like to make some comments based on a research that the CASB is carrying out currently as part of our effort to for the PIR on IFRS 13. Some comments that are relevant to the questions in the RFI are as follows. Regarding the usefulness of disclosures about fair value measurement, users expressed the opinion that the comparability is compromised due to the difference in disclosure faithfulness, and as a result, the usefulness of disclosure information decreases. They also raised the issue that the disclosure about level three of fair value measurements are too complex and difficult to understand. On the other hand, preparers gave opinions that there are lack of detailed guidelines, difficulty in obtaining fair value information, a lack of skilled experts, and excessive information to disclose. In relation to the fair value measurement of quoted investment in subsidiary joint ventures and associates, they said that it is often necessary to measure them at fair value. For example, recognition of impairment and changes of classification between associates and subsidiaries. Therefore, it is important to clarify the priority for level one inputs and the unit of account. Regarding this issue, the results of our interview with stakeholders revealed that the measurement that take into account the control premium are the relevant information. Lastly, in relation to the application of a judgment in specific areas, there were opinions that it is difficult to judge whether the market, where the stock trading volume is relatively small, and the over-the-counter market, where the stocks are actively traded on the impending IPO, can be regarded as an active market. And also the issue was raised to that the distinction between level 2 and level 3 input was unclear. So those are some of the findings from our research.
Christine.
Just quickly, we've gone through an analysis of fair value disclosures relative to the disclosure framework, just as an application of the principles that are within the disclosure framework as a road test. It's one of the areas that we've looked at. And so it was a slightly different perspective in doing the analysis, but there is a long list, and the staff is probably aware of it, but I just mention it for the benefit of the rest of the group. That there are changes that we're looking at making, some because removing disclosures because they're not consistent with the disclosure principles or because they were deemed to not be useful disclosures, some changes that we're making to align the disclosures that are currently required to just amend them to make them more consistent with the disclosure framework, and then the addition of some disclosures that weren't there currently. So to the extent that that would be helpful, of course, that's there. The other thing that I just wanted to note was in terms of the outreach, I think I read somewhere that you're going to provide or thinking about providing concrete examples for the users to respond to. And we just recently went through a liabilities and equities outreach to users. And our staff member, Shane, who was in charge of that, put together a really robust approach to outreach to investors involving pre-interviews and a set of materials that were specific to the user that they were speaking to. And it was in an area that's very complex, liabilities and equity is not an easy one to get user feedback on. And we found it to produce some very, very good concrete information. So if you're interested in speaking to him about the process, it's Shane Kuhanek, and I can give you his contact information if you needed that. And then when we were doing our fair value analysis, the group, the staff members did quite a bit of outreach to users in the U.S. So to the extent, if you don't already have that information, if that would be helpful to you, to the extent they can share it, I'll hook you up with Nick, who was in charge of that process.
That's very helpful. Cedric?
Thank you. Well, we just started also with the project building a working group at the ENC, so we are not so in the phase of conclusion, but we will provide more information in September. At this stage, what I could say is that we probably will address all the issues that have been identified, which are relevant also in our jurisdiction. Maybe two kind small remarks at this stage. The first one is on the P times Q. The assumption according to which so P times Q is more relevant than other assessment method like discounted cash flows or other solution is a way that will be investigated because we think that it is a situation where it's it could be a disadvantage to address listed companies instead of non-listed ones. So in that model, there would be a bias that would not exist in a situation of non-listed assets. Second one is a situation that we already mentioned in a previous comment letter about IFRS 13. which is how to address a stress situation, how do we react, and and it especially tackles the situation of inactive market. So why is that assumption that an inactive market is better than other assessment method like discounted cash flows, for example? It is also a matter of concern to reconsider some assumption in specific stress situation, and I think it's an area where we also have to provide some example or new solution.
So we're establishing an advisory panel made up of a broad group of different people to try and get some input, not just on this project, but more generally. So in Australia, we actually have the public sector applying fair value to the majority of their assets. So we've got quite an extensive experience of applying fair value in non-financial instruments. So we'd certainly agree that the four areas there that you have are key ones. We would also add restricted assets to that, so more guidance around when and how you focus on restrictions is important, and also obsolescence when you're doing your current replacement cost valuations has always been a big issue as well. So we will be doing a public sector specific piece of work on that, but some of those things might well inform some of the debates that you're having as well.
Thank you.
Michelle? So China also agreed that they believe the topics in the request for use are the correct topics, and supports the outreach strategy, and will be undertaking its own strategy. But it makes a further comment that it thinks we should address things on a timely basis, providing the appropriate educational materials on specific issues and looking at issues that should be referred to the Interpretations Committee. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so, I mean, thank you very much for this, and I think you partly answered the second part of the question, but I'm just going to go through in case there were any additional comments or observations. So on our outreach strategy, as mentioned, as the focus is on disclosures, we are really focusing our meetings and discussions to understand the disclosure problem, or if there is a problem, and this is primarily focusing on users. So we have had some meetings already that involve users only. We have had some that involve both users and preparers, and this was used in examples. Using examples is a tricky undertaking, and I will take up on your offer to just discuss with Shane to see what did he learn from that exercise, how to make the best use of it. We find it works, but you really need to prepare the ground for it. So with the other areas outside disclosures, as mentioned, as the focus is on gathering evidence, and we expect that this evidence will be included in lots of comment letters that we receive. And we're also gathering evidence by simply looking at financial statements, trying to use our databases that we have in-house just to understand a little bit better about, you know, why do these things happen, when do they not happen, and also complementing all of that with academic literature review. We have just finalizing commissioning of academic or group of academics who are going to do this, help us conduct this exercise. So in our meetings, as said, the focus is really, we always focus discussing on the disclosures. And with that, really, just to emphasize that your support is much appreciated, and we really rely on the outreach that you do, and we use that in as input to our analysis. And I really appreciate the fact that your outreach tallies up with areas of the focus of the board, and that you are trying hard, even though people love to discuss what should be the P times Q answer that you're telling them. You know, actually, the board is not seeking those views today. We really want to understand how big are the differences, how good are your valuation, maybe valuation models have changed, are they more consistent now than they were perhaps 3 years ago, and so on. Just help guide them to give us the input that the board is looking for today. I think Sue's had enough comment letters about the views on P times Q for now. So with that, I mean, as I appreciate, many of you have already shared your outreach done already or the plans, but just maybe open for comments, any comments on our outreach plans and any additional comments you want to make in regards to your plans. And just before that, we have the appendix of template of the material that you can use in the outreach with the users, that you can complement with the examples, real life examples. So I didn't want to include any examples here, but if you want our help with examples as well, we'll be happy to do that. Ashley has become quite an expert in preparing these and summarizing, so we can do that. So with that, please, if anybody else has anything else.
Any other suggestions on the outreach? No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We take a 15-minute break, and then we continue with performance reporting.